Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
All right, so we're in a series right now called Know Thy Voice. And knowing God, knowing His character, and knowing the voice of God, it's all the same. So it's hard to hear God's voice if you don't know God, if you're not spending time with God. And so know thy voice. The anchor passage of Scripture, go to John, and most of what I'm reading today from the Bible is from John. And so it's the sheep listen to His voice. The sheep listen to His voice. So much of our prayer life can be speaking to God. But it doesn't say when the sheep speak to Jesus, they know His voice. It says when the sheep listen, they know His voice. That's a good key right there. That's a bonus point for all those people that like taking notes in church, which is all the better Christians. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow Him because they know thy voice. They know His voice. And I love that it's like from John 10 verse 4. And if you know like that radio code, 10-4 means message received. I hear. And I love that knowing His voice comes from John 10-4. I know it's real cheesy, isn't it? But it's like, that's the posture as Christians that we ought to be going towards God is message received, God. Getting message is the message received. Now, when we see that, it's like if you say when He calls His own sheep, so He's called you, you have a calling. God has a plan and purpose for your life and for my life, and we want to live out that plan and purpose, right? On this side of eternity, we want to make the most impact we can for God for the other side of eternity. Now, this says it in a couple of verses, and you're like, man, it just sounds so simple. The sheep know Him, they hear His voice, they follow His call, they follow Him, and they hear it. But that's not the reality for many of us in life. Many of us in life, we have great fear and anxiety with missing thy voice. Many Christians run around in disillusionment and despair, not knowing, is God saying this or is God saying that? And this exists in our church, exists in our lives. And I want to speak to the people in the room that experience fear and anxiety when it comes to fearing of missing out on what God is saying. Who am I meant to marry? Where am I meant to live? What am I meant to do? Where am I meant to go? And like we could go around and get Christian anxiety around trying to obey God. And I want to tell you by the end of this message, you are going to feel really confident that you got it more than you think you do. Turn to the person next to you and say, confidence. I was going to get you to say something else, but then that was going to cause confusion. So here's some throwaways for you, some characteristics of God's word that you could take a photo of this screen if you want, if it's helpful. Characteristics of God's word from Pastor Sam. His word is powerful. If you apply it, it works. It's got power. His word is not random. His word, He doesn't say one thing to one person and a completely contradicting thing to someone else. His word unifies, brings the body of Christ together. His word is clear. It doesn't bring confusion. So when Christians are like, I don't know what to do, and I'm confused, it's like, that's not God's word, all right? Did God say this, that, what? Like, it doesn't bring confusion. It brings clarity. His word is in conflict with cultural norms. What is normal in society conflicts often with God's word. Do not conform to the patterns of the world. His word will clash with our flesh. Our flesh wants ease, convenience, painless, comfortable, but none of these words are synonyms, with God's word. You know what I'm saying. His word will clash with our flesh. So when we are thinking selfishly before God and we complain that we don't hear God, it's because what He's saying, or maybe we do hear God but we don't like it, it's because it's clashing with us. Because we have an idol going on the inside of ourselves called self. His word stretches faith, always. That's what drives us close to him, because we need to depend on him. His word's consistent, so he doesn't change his mind. His word's consistent. Oh, you know, God asked me to obey him this way yesterday, but I think he changed his mind. No. He told you to be married to that person, stay married to that person. His word is patient. He keeps saying the same thing, and he says it quite softly and quietly and nicely. He's like, you know, can you tithe? Can you tithe? Can you tithe? Can you tithe? And I'll wait until you get it. Can you tithe? Can you tithe? Can you tithe? Can you tithe? I'll wait until you get it. Can you tithe? Can you tithe? But God, speak to me about something else. How about tithing? Tithing. Tithing. But this is awkward and I disagree with it. I don't believe it's a New Testament belief. Well, tithe. 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 Test me on this. Tithe. Have you read Malachi 3? Tithe. Have you read Matthew where Jesus confirms it? Tithe. It got real awkward in the room. But that's what God does. You know, treat your wife well. Treat your wife well. Treat your wife well. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. God, this message is boring. I want a fresh word. Well, obey this one and I'll give you a new one. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Right? It's annoying. God's a nag. That's not up there. All right. His word is patient. His word is confirmed amongst witnesses. He will confirm his word. If he's only saying it to you and you can't find confirmation anywhere, well, I don't know. Check it. His word is sure. If he says it, you can lean on it. His word is sure. You can get confident. His word is not rushed. His word enforces our identity. Often when we go to God for direction, he'll speak to us about who we are. Because there's freedom of choice in understanding the power and authority that you in fact carry. And so he'll speak to you about that because you have the authority to live your life. Amen. His word enforces our identity. His word demands actions. If he's saying it, you can do it and you can do it now. His word speaks to our spirit and not our soul. God doesn't care much for our feelings, and our feelings are a bad master. His word will speak to our spirit and not our feelings. And his word speaks in steps, not plans. So when we get frustrated that God hasn't laid it all out, that's called trust. We've got to surrender to him, but he'll speak to us about the next step. You do the next step, you'll end up living out the plan. All right, moving on. So today, confidence is coming. So if you feel fear and anxiety around hearing God's voice, by the end of this message, you're going to understand that God is close, that God is for you, that you got to understand that you know and hear his voice more than you even know to give yourself credit for, that there is confidence. I'm going to back it up with his word. Why would I just give you opinion? I'm going to give you verse after verse that's going to give you confidence. That's where our assurance is found. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And the Bible says that faith is the confidence of things not seen. If you haven't seen the fulfilling of the calling of God on your life and you want confidence that he's speaking about the calling of God on your life, you need faith. And where are you going to get it? But none other than the word of God, not from Pastor Sam's opinion. All right, somebody give God some praise. All right. So listen, I think there's a few key things that if this is you, you don't have anything to worry about. People that strive to know him, people that intend to obey him, and people that have a deep desire to fulfill the call of God on their lives. If that's you, if you're striving, if you're eager to know Jesus, if you're eager to know God, if you have the intent to obey him, which is not every person in church, some people in church go to the Bible with cynicism. But if you have the intent or options, like I'll read the word while it agrees with me, but if it doesn't agree with me, I don't know, it's kind of obedience is optional. No, if you strive to know Jesus, you have the intent to obey him, and you have a deep desire to fulfill your calling in this life for him, you have nothing to worry about. God, of course, God's just, he's speaking to you all day long, all right? Just throwing that out there. So in John 15, we read this passage of scripture where we connect to the vine. If you abide in me and remain in him, you'll bear much fruit. And God wants you to win in life. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a winner. God wants you to win. And in John 15, verse 9, let's read this. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. So I loved you. That ought to give you massive confidence right there. The Father's love is unconditional. Now remain in my love. Key one is like remaining in relationship with Jesus. Now there's ifs here, there's conditions. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to hear God's command in order to be able to keep them? You think, oh God, like, I'd love to obey your word if only I could just hear it. Anybody? Is it fear, right? We just want to hear God's word. If you keep my commands, just as I've kept the Father's commands and remain in his love, I loved you. Verse 11, I told you this so that your joy, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The greatest joy that you and I ever have on this planet is to fulfill the call of God on our life. And when joy is made complete, that is when you walk through the gate of heaven and he looks you in the eye and says, well done, good. What greater joy is there than that? Understanding the reason you were created, that you were breathed by God, he created you by design for a calling, that you understand the command, you walk out the command, you fulfill the command, you go to heaven, high five Jesus, there is no greater joy. It's amazing. And then he says, my command is this. Oh, hang on a second. You're like, I wish I knew what God's command was. And then in John 15, he's like, well, here it is. It's right here. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. The purpose of our lives is other people. The purpose of your calling is to live for others. Not your career. The purpose of your life is not to fulfill your career. The purpose of your career is to fulfill your calling to live for others. So if we are going to God for direction and answers when it's all about us, don't be surprised if we get confused that we aren't hearing his word, because his word is saying, I've commanded you to not be about you. Get it? So that's why at this church, we will always exist to connect people to God, not for God to just connect to us. God is connected to you. You got it. You got the hope found in Jesus. Now we just got to do everything and have everything and every resource in our life lives for that purpose, for that end in mind. Okay, you are my friends. You are my friends if, there's that word if again, do what I command. I no longer call you servants. You got to read 1 John along with this. 1 John will tell you that you actually are not in God's love, that you think you love God if you don't actually go and help the needy and help the poor. And it's like, if we live for ourselves, we don't know God's love. And that's what 1 John says. It's very convicting for a very carnal Christian. For a Christian that comes to church to get a 10-point message to feed into their life so they can have more in the bank, better relationships for them, and they're going to church for them. The Bible doesn't work for that person. Okay. It's just real. Like, I didn't write it. All right. You are my friends if you live for other people, if you do what I command, if you love, and there is no selfishness in love. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know the master's business, doesn't hear God's voice. Instead, I call you friends. Somebody say friend. For everything I've learned from the Father, I have made known to you. I don't know if I can hear God's voice, Sam. No, you can. Everything he's learned from the Father, he has made known to you. How great is this? You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. That fruit will last. And whatever you ask in the name of the Father, I will give you. If you want to hear from God and you have a desire to live for him and to live for other people, to love your neighbor as yourself and to fulfill the commands of the Bible, if you have that desire in this life to obey God and to live for God for your whole life, you got nothing to worry about hearing God's voice. Zero worries. No worries. Because it just says there, everything. And if you ask, if you say, God, speak to me, he'll give it to you. This is my command. And he confirms it again. Second time he says, this is what I'm telling you to do. This is my word. Love somebody. That means self-sacrifice. That means laying one's life down. That means living for other people. Okay, so that's the foundation of your calling. So for somebody coming to church today that didn't realize that their life exists for other people, well, you got all you need for the whole next You got 20 years of word right there. Great. All right, moving on. Confidence in hearing God's word. Because the enemy wants you to believe it's hard. The enemy wants you to believe that Jesus is distant and it's a lie. He's a liar. The enemy wants you to believe that he isn't speaking to you. He's speaking to everybody else and that you can't win. All that stuff is crap. Turn to the person next to you and say, Satan's crap. All right, number one, confidence. Number one, confidence. Come on. Number one, seek and you shall find. Somebody say shall. It doesn't say seek and you may find. It doesn't say knock and the door might open. The Bible doesn't say ask and you know, there is a possibility that you will receive. The Bible says shall. Seek and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14. What a great scripture this is. As I told you, I'm going to give you the word of God. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. So striving to know God. Is there a deer panting for waterness inside you? Is there a striving to know your Heavenly Father? Like, there ought to be a striving in Sam to know Jess. I feel like I know Jess, but I mean, Jess is, you know, complex. So wonderfully complex. But the more that I study and the more that I learn, the more I can lay down my agenda so that I can, and intimacy is grown from that foundation of trust by me not trying to bring my selfish desires into the relationship, but wanting to know her. If I go and strive after God and want to know him, and I'm willing to lay down preferences and striving and prioritizing, and you know, so this striving in routine, I want to encourage some people in the room to develop some sort of routine when it comes to striving after God. Setting key time aside in prayer, setting key time aside in the Word of God. These things, to hear God, to know God, to listen to Him, to be with Him, to abide in Him. Abiding is a verb. To remain, it's a verb. Because the complexities of living in Toronto and living in this life and how full on it is and how, like, you know, how cluttersome, so much clutter. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Just clutter everywhere. And when there's not clutter in the city, there's clutter in the job. When there's not clutter in the job, there's clutter trying to study. When there's not clutter trying to study, there's clutter in our bedroom. There's clutter in our laundry basket. There's clutter everywhere. Feel you, right? There's just clutter. Like life is just full, 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 full. When have you ever said to someone, hey, how have you been? And they haven't said busy. How have you been? Oh, well, I actually got lots of room and lots of space in my life. They're like so busy every time. Cause life's just full. It's full. So life is not about, you know, emptying. Life is just about priority management. So intentional set of time apart. Like listen, Psalms chapter 46, verse 10 says this: be still. That's a verb, and know that I am God. So the Bible's saying here, if you want to know God, you need to have the discipline of stillness. I talk to some people and say, you know, tell me like, are you like, and they're like, I want to hear from God. And I'm like, great, awesome. You want to hear from God? Tell me, where do you pray? How do you pray? And then they're like, you know, I do it kind of on the car on the way to work, kind of flip through my Bible, like on the streetcar, flip, whatever. And it's like, okay, there is nothing wrong with that, but that can't be only it. Because there's constant distraction going on. Like, and to be honest, it sometimes sounds like a weak excuse for a lack of priority. So it's like, good, okay, praying on the way to a busy life is better than not praying at all. But try 5 minutes of devoted silence. No email, no laptop. No people around, just dedication. And maybe 5 minutes of silence, you will know so much more about your Father speaking to you than the clutter, than 50 minutes of cluttersome prayer. Because anxieties and we're trying to achieve for God, but even in the work of God can be cluttered. And then while we're serving in church and doing all these things and running around and You know, we can think, man, that's the perfect way to hear. No, it's not the perfect way to hear from God. You can be a busy, 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 busy Christian and not be living from a fresh word. That's called religion. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But the complexities of life gets exalted in our world. So we, every time we devote any attention to anything, we say yes to it. But the way, what we say no to, the stronger your no's is the strong, determines the strength of your yes. So when you shut out stuff by saying no, no, no-ness is boundaries. When you put boundaries around some prayer time, you are strengthening your yes of devotion to Jesus. Come on. I know. Even 5 minutes. But like, because you're like, what are you meaning, like an hour, carve out an hour? I mean, there would be a great season of time for you to just even to do that. I'm like carving out an hour of being still before God and seeing what happens. That's normally what fasting is. But for me, like I get so anxious about missing God's voice just by preparing a message for Sunday. As in, like, this group of people are gonna come to church again. And then so you read, I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, you know, what is it? And studying and reading commentaries and doing this and trying to, God, like, I've got to hear your voice. And even in the busyness and the anxiety of preparing a word. And then God's like, Sam, shut up. Listen. Stop. And so I'll stop, take a step back, and I'll just be like, God, what's your word? Set it on my heart. I'm anointed for this. I'm called to this. So I trust and I've got strength and confidence in this. And then all of a sudden, oh, man. Then I take that to the word. I say, well, what does your word say about that? It's the written word working with the, what we call the Rhema word or the revelation word. You know, even vision for the church and making decisions and vision for your life. There's so much anxiety of what to do. Just stop for a sec. And it feels like you're wasting time by stopping. But in actual fact, you're expediting good decisions so you're not wasting time on a whole bunch of bad ones. This is good for a businessman. Rather than making all the business decisions from intuition and from, and there is a time for that. Like when God shows you how to run, run. But if you don't know, if you're second guessing the way to run, then stop. Go to the burning bush, get from the mountain what you need to do in the valley, but don't go running around in the valley trying to decide what to do until you've gone up to the mountaintop. I remember when we announced North Campus, people would ask, and around the staff and everything, everybody, so who's the campus? Who's the campus pastor? Like, who's that going to be? Who's that going to be? I'm like, I don't know. And then, you know, this, you adopt anxiety from other people, and you're like, I should know. Am I a bad leader for not knowing? How have I not even known? Like God said, like, we got to do another campus, and it's going to be up the north, and we're already looking for space and looking for venue, but we don't have a campus pastor. And I remember, like, that decision was like, man, who's it going to be? And I'm kind of going through, like, different people, whatever, kind of, like, looking at people talking, and just thinking, man, like, why is there, like, and then God's like, Sam, stop! So, because you guys just think that I just know what I'm doing. It's a complete lie. I don't. God knows what he's doing. What I've got to do is be surrendered and dependent on him. And so I take a step back. And then when I was doing that, like through prayer and fasting in the beginning of the year in January, then all of a sudden, I don't know why I'd never seen JoJo and Mariel in this light before, but it was like there was this giant celestial highlighter over their lives. And I was like, wow. And then now I know I need to be obedient to invite them to the task, but then my obedience is also connected to other people's obedience. They need to be obedient. And, you know, it's frustrating sometimes when you're trying to be obedient to God, but the people around you aren't being obedient to God. And some, you know, it's a team thing. The body has many parts. Wouldn't it be good if we could just obey God's calling on our lives by ourselves? But God called us to be in relationship. But God's patient. It's all good. That's a different message. Number two, confidence comes from being hashtag all in with the Spirit and the Bible. The story in John 4 of the Samaritan woman is an illustration of what the Bible says is this is an example of the worshiper the Father is seeking. And it says spirit and truth. Let me read it to you. Yet a time is coming, verse 23, and has now come when true worshipers, like the people of C3 Toronto, will worship the Father in two things, spirit and in truth. We want confidence in God's voice and knowing God. We have to worship Him. We have to live out our lives in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We can't be a Christian and not acknowledge the fact that Jesus sent the greatest helper after Him, the Holy Spirit. And at this church, you are always encouraged to be totally filled with the Holy Spirit and understand the Spirit's role in our lives. But along with that, we can't be Christians that just go to church and never open up the Bible for ourselves and have the Holy Spirit. Then we come up with a whole bunch of random ideas of what we think God is like and even have spiritual heebie-jeebie feelings around those random thoughts and then say, this must be God. This must be God because I feel it is right. And often that feeling will more align with the culture of the world than it does with the culture of the Word. But we wouldn't know that because we haven't read the Word. So it needs to be both in spirit and in truth. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a hot second. The Holy Spirit, check this out. John 14, another verse from John. John 14, verse 26 says, but the advocate, your advocate, this is awesome. The Holy Spirit. This word advocate means your intercessor. It means the pleader of one's cause. What's your cause? You're passionate about obeying God and fulfilling the call of God for your life. Do you know who's more passionate than you? The Holy Spirit. He's pleading for your cause. He's like, okay, Father, listen. Pastor Jerry Jurasami is a legend. Like, I just want to remind you, God. And he's like, you know, he's your best cheerleader. He's like, give me a G, give me an E, give me an R. He's like, Pastor Jerry is a legend. Listen to his prayers. He's good. He's awesome. He's obedient. His heart's great. And he's like slamming the door of heaven going, you got to bless this guy. You got to honor this guy. You got to bring good people around this guy. You got to you got this advocate who's pleading your case. Do you know this? Confidence will come to you understanding when you're filled with the Holy Spirit that He's uttering prayers to heaven. That's why we speak in tongues. It's because we don't understand it, but it's the perfect will of God, the Bible says. And that He groans these intercessions right into the throne room of heaven, and you can't pray a more perfect prayer. Do we even know that? It's powerful. There is power in this stuff. This isn't some man-made idea. There is power in God, power in the Holy Spirit. The advocate means fighter. It means he's called to one side. So when the enemy's trying to get you, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you understand that there is someone else fighting on your behalf. It's the sword of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, how does he do that? Listen, let's read the rest of the verse. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said. When you have the confidence of the Holy Spirit all through your life, you also have the confidence that He is bringing to surface everything that God's already said. There is like 2.5 amens. This is good news. Receive, be filled with the Holy Spirit and confidence to know His will, to know the Word. He's a witness, so He'll witness against and witness for. You hear something that sounds right from someone, you're like, I don't know, like that kind of sounds right, but there's something really not right about that. That's because the Holy Spirit's in you going, eh. And you're like, yeah, but they're a Christian and they seem to be doing all the right things, but they came up with this idea and, you know, did I not get that right? And the Holy Spirit's going, eh. Because He knows everything Jesus said. And He's alive. He's not. Come on. So we got to do this as a church, is baptize people in the Holy Spirit, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and we give you the best helper there ever was. A way better help than anyone. Knowing the Bible is knowing God. The Bible and the Holy Spirit, they are synonyms for the character of God. The character of Jesus is all through this, and the character of Jesus is blueprinted on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. When you want to know, what's God like? How do I know God? Know the Spirit. Know the Word. All right, so let's talk about the Bible for a hot second. 1 Thessalonians, another great verse. Man, I'm giving you some good verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, when you received the Word of God, when you, our approach to the Word of God is so important. When you come ready, like receiving is like front-footed. Like, hey, come over to my house for Christmas Eve and we're going to give each other gifts. If you tell that to Noah, who's 5 years old, do you think he's like slow in wanting to receive? No. He's like through the front door. It's like, my gift. He's like, no, that's your cousin's gift. He's like, I want to open it. But it's like, the Word is like this ultimate gift from God, and we approach it with so much cynicism and judgment. God's like, I've given you this amazing gift, but the way you're receiving it sucks. And we ought to be going, oh my gosh, what else is in here? Because it comes alive and beautiful in our lives. And you know, receiving the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as human word, how you accept it, your belief in it, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Do you want to know how to get this thing from a dry piece of toast to something that's living bread? Do you know how to do it? Belief. Faith. I believe it's true. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe this is the full authority, irrefutable Word of God. This thing is powerful. If I approach it that way and accept it that way, it changes lives. It really does. Brings miracles, heals souls. I mean, there's so many arguments about the Bible and about its evidence and everything. I mean, it was written by 40 different writers over the span of 1,500 years in three different languages, yet it doesn't contradict itself. How is that even possible? Jesus, in the Bible, because they do tests on literature to determine its validity and its ability to confirm itself. And Jesus in the Bible fulfills 300 Old Testament prophecies, which if you do the statistics of that, it's like something like 1 billion. There's a 1 billion to the power of 100 chance that one person could fulfill that many prophecies that were written 500 plus years before. Isaiah prophesies about Christ, and Isaiah was written 500 years before Jesus was born. So in itself, it confirms itself. But then you can't just stop there thinking about the fact that it's infallible. People have tried to discredit it, tried to destroy it, but it's the only book that lives on. Ancient manuscripts have been found proving its existence, and the Bible has the most supporting literature than any other historical book, with over 1,000 other writings that confirm the historical truth of the Bible. Writings that were written at the same time, different scrolls that also point back to its validity. And we believe poetry that has like three writings that agree with its validity. But we discredit the Bible that has thousands. It's not because we have issue with literature. We have issue with the way it asks us to live our lives. Because it grinds against the ultimate idol in Western world called self. If we can discredit the message, we can try and be okay to live with disobedience. That's why there's so much assault against the Word of God, so much assault against the Bible. It just doesn't work like that. Come on. So when we're wanting to do what, because I'm talking about hearing God's voice and knowing God, when we're wanting to do right by God, but we question His Word, but we want Him to speak to us, but we're questioning what He said to us, When you're living in these two different camps, it's like it causes confusion, frustration, division, and even, I'll go as far to say, as hatred. hatred against his word. And in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And there is, when we know what the Bible says about something in our lives, when we read it even just once, but this area of our life is actually more aligned to a worldly way of thinking and not God's truth, whenever we come across those verses, we'll despise it. It will irritate us. We won't like it. We'll just read, 1 Corinthians 13 again. And you despise it until we change our lives to align with it. Then we have accepted it. When we obey it, then it no longer becomes bitterness and confronting according to the Spirit that lives in us. I'll get the keys up. Let me give you some examples. Drunkenness. Don't get drunk. Be in sober mind. People that go out and party a lot that don't actually adhere to that and wonder why, like, I want God to speak more. And he's just saying, can you just slow down on the bottle? And he'll just keep just something real practical, sleeping around. I want to live out the will of God for my life. And he's like, well, stop treating people like that. Stop treating yourself like that. Sexual sin is sin against self. He's like, man, you're assaulting this temple that I've created, that I've set up. Can you just keep your hands to yourself, please? And you're like, well, I want to learn about other things, about theology and God, and I should go to Bible. Well, before you go to Bible college, stop sleeping around. Bad speech, gossip, complaining. Man, it's funny how much that trips us up. And every time we hear a preacher bring something up, it's like it grinds against it. We despise it. Ah, don't talk about that again. I want to disagree with it because I know I'm not living that way. But we keep looking on Facebook and talking bad about people. Did you see that? Did you see what, did you see what Jerry was doing? Did you see that shirt that Jerry's wearing? Who does he think he is? But when we talk about people, especially people in church, there is so much division inside church. And to the point where God's standard is really low. Can two people please agree? He's like, standard on unity goes way down. He's like, I'll do anything. I'll do anything if two people in C3 Toronto could agree. It's because Christians suck at unity. We complain and talk about leadership and talk about each other. And then when we read stuff like submission to authority in the Bible, it grinds against us. We despise it. We don't. I hate it when he brings that up. Yeah, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one or love the other. But when you align to it, you find that the air clears. Obedience is beautiful. Obedience is not a bad thing. Submission is beautiful. Submitting to God, surrendering to his will, laying down and dying to oneself, it's amazing. Trying to keep self alive is hard. But just going, all right, take me. It's so good. And then the flow of communication and the knowledge of God is just so beautiful. What about forgiveness? Oh, no, we all forgive. No, we don't. No, we don't. We are so passive aggressive. I remember once I had it, like I played drums growing up and I had this nice drum kit, which I sold and bought an engagement ring for Jess that got stolen last year, but whatever, that's another story. I'm still bitter about it. I got to forgive the guy that stole the rings. Dang it. But forgiveness is an option. It's non-negotiable to God. And he will stop talking to us about a lot of things until we get our relationships right. And so they liked the church I was in at the time liked my drum kit and was about to record an album. So they said, can we use your drums to record this album? And I'm like, they're going to ask me to play on the album. They didn't. And then when they gave the drum kit back, it was damaged and broken. Oh. Man, I got offended by that. How these people call them Christians? How dare they? There are people in the room right now that are getting offended before me, like for me. You're like, yeah, right, that sucks. But, you got to forgive. What about generosity? Because the Bible's pretty big on that. And you're like, yeah, yeah, no, I give money. That's not what I'm talking about. So when you're trying to make it forward, you're trying to live your life, and this person doesn't help you. This person's close to you. You ask them, you're desperate for help, and they don't. They don't help you. They don't give you a helping hand. Later, you're in a position where you're able to help people. You weren't in a power position, and then you've grown, your career's grown, things have grown, and now you're in a power position. And God says, oh, that person that didn't help you, yeah, I want you to help them. And you're like, wait, but the Bible says is do unto others as you would do to yourself. And they didn't. And God's like, yeah, the Spirit's not witnessing on that one. And he's like, and when you help them, give to them, be generous to them, and don't attach your name to it. And you're like, oh, so I'm not even going to get the credit? And every time they walk by me, like, they still are like, they've still got issue with me. And it's like, well, when they get sorted, then I'll get sorted. And God's like, no, you just focus on yourself. I'm talking about the log, not the splinter. And you're like, ugh. That's generosity. Generosity isn't waiting until everybody does right by you before you do right by them. Generosity is always doing right by other people, even your enemies. And then there'll be that one relationship that you want to justify because it was that real close one and they really burnt you. And God's like, yeah, my word still applies here. And you're like, well, I'm despising this word right now, and I wish he would put the microphone down and stop speaking. Yeah, exactly. Until we obey. And when you forgive, and when you're generous towards that relationship, the air just goes, whew, fruit, blessing, God's favor. It's just, man, open heaven. All right. It's good. Confidence in the word of God comes through. If you seek him with all your heart, he will be found. If you worship God in spirit and truth, filled with the Holy Spirit, that advocate will remind you of God's word all the time, every thought, every action. You're in the word of God. The character of Jesus painted all through this, and you'll hear God's voice every single day. You'll have so much confidence in hearing the word of God. The last one is beautiful. We have full assurance as God's children. John 8, another one from John. John 8, verse 47. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is because you don't belong to God. When you receive Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, this thing happens that the Bible says is we're born again. We get adopted into the family of believers. And when you belong to God, you hear him. God's a good father. When my kids want to hear me and talk to me, man, I'll sit down and pay attention and talk to them all day long. But God is such a better father than I am. The Bible doesn't say if you're his child, you might hear from him. It says you will. We need to be in a church that have greater confidence in hearing God's voice. To know who you are, to know that you belong to Jesus, to know that he's found every time. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, now is the time. This is the best decision you'll ever make. And in a moment when I ask, I'm going to ask people to raise their hand, and we're going to pray a prayer of faith that's going to invite God into your heart. Or maybe you're someone that did know God, but for any number of reasons, you've walked away from him and you want to recommit your life to him. If that's you in this room, you too, when I ask, you'll raise your hand and we'll pray a prayer, and that will be a prayer that will say, God, I want to invite you into my life again. Or maybe if you were to die, you would second guess if you have a place in heaven. But no one should live a moment without knowing that God has a place for them. And the Bible says that Jesus is our assurance of salvation. So if that's you, if you're one of those people in this room, if you want to invite Jesus into your heart for the first time, you want to recommit your life to God, or you want the assurance found in salvation, just raise your hand up nice and high with nobody looking around. Who is there? Thank you.